Thank you, Chris. And I want to thank also our colleagues Jeannie and Barclay and Joyce for organizing this session and inviting us to be here with you. Because of the numbers in the room, I would almost prefer if we could have a round table and have a discussion between what you're doing and what we're doing. And certainly, and I invite you to do this as informal as can be so that we have an exchange. And I would say, because of the numbers, if you have any comments, question, or clarification, please do not hesitate just to let us know. Both, as mentioned by Chris, both Anna and I work for the same organization, which is the Pan American Health Organization. So our presentation, in a sense, will be complementary. And I will be addressing in a brief presentation more about the healthcare policy environment in which we found ourselves right now in the region of the Americas. I'm speaking, but even with the U.S. now, because of the Affordable Care Act that was adopted under President Obama, but mainly in Latin America and the Caribbean. And what are some of the key policy orientations as they relate to human resources, and namely the development of leadership and development of competencies of the workforce, some of the challenges that the ministries of health or the national health authorities are facing and dealing with, and what kind of strategies the organization is discussing with the member states in terms of achieving changes that are much necessary in our countries. I take for granted that most of you know about the Pan American Health Organization. I would just say a couple of things. PAHO, because of its history, was born in 1902. So it's both part of the Inter-American system and the Organization of American States, created by the U.S. at the beginning of the last century, and part of the UN system, and we are the regional office for the Americas of the World Health Organization. So we are very much a United Nations creature. And in that sense, the essence of the organization, it's important in terms of understanding what we're gonna share with you. The essence of the organization is an intergovernmental organization. We work with governments, and we work with the ministries of health, or the national health authorities, in supporting them in designing the best policies to deal with the conditions and the situation and the problems that they have to face in terms of improving health. We do cooperation with the country and more, as you will see, with the concept of networks in terms of cooperation between countries. So I'm going backward. Oh yeah, you're right, okay. I should know my difference between right and left. Well, these are some of the ideas that I want to share with you, and obviously these are big generalization, but behind them there are many truths. One is, my argument is that in the decade of 2000, we have a dramatic shift in the countries of the region about the core orientation of health policy and health system organization. And what you've seen in the countries of the region, bear a few exceptions, is a shift towards policies that search expansion of coverage of health services, and with the idea of ensuring universal coverage to all of our populations in the countries of the region. Good examples of this were obviously what happened in Venezuela with the initiative that you might have heard of, Barrio Adentro, or what we're seeing under President Lula in Brazil with the Family Health Program, but there are many, many examples where the notion of having health systems that ensure total coverage has become a priority for the countries of the region. They try to achieve this through what we call the renewal of primary healthcare. Basically, the notion is that what we have in terms of human resources and health system in the countries of the region is a pyramid that is resting on its peak. And what you have is a composition of human resources where most physicians are specialists, they work in high technology environment in the big urban center. And if you want to expand or ensure coverage, you have to find a way to move the pyramid in the other direction and have a health system that is based on the strategy of primary health care. This is nothing new. We know about Alma-Ata, Health for All, but this is gaining, because of the political and economical environment that we have in the countries of the region, new traction in the countries of the region. The concept in very fragmented health system or subsystems of a better integration of services through integrated delivery network is also a powerful drive in what's happening in the health sector right now in the countries. An increasing focus on the primary health care, the first line, the community line, in terms of health care teams attending to communities with health promotion components and so on. And obviously what has been a major initiative in the region in recent years, the strengthening of public health capacities around the work we did with the CDC and the concept of essential public health functions. So this, my intention with these few comments is to give you a feel about where the countries are moving in the past 10 years and the challenges that they have ahead to move this agenda. This is a slide that is used by the director of PAHO, Dr. Mirta Roses, to try to describe what is the policy environment that determines what we do at PAHO. And basically what you have, taking Health for All as the reference, universal coverage, and the MDGs, the Millennium Development Goals, as a key reference, you have on the left health system based on primary health care with their characteristics, and obviously with the result of the work of the commission, a greater consideration to the health and the social determinants of health. And in between a number of characteristics and initiative and values that should guide the development of health system. So that gives you a sense of the kind of policy environment in which we are in the region right now. That means, in terms of human resources, as dramatic changes in terms of the kind of profiles we have, in terms of what do we need for now, what do we need for the future, and how are we going to produce these human resources. What we're seeing in recent years is an increasing disconnect between higher education and the kind of health professionals and technicians that are produced by the educational environment in relation to the policies that I just described to you for the health sector. So the health sector is moving in the direction, let's call it primary health care, but the higher education is not moving into that direction. And this is putting a lot of pressure on national health authorities in terms of what can we do with the existing workforce to implement that change of a health system that is based on public health and primary health care. And that, in many countries like Chile and many others, by law, is committed to ensure access to all of the population to packages of services. So now how you do this? How do you do this in Peru? How you do this in the remote areas, in the rural areas, in terms of having people with the leadership and with the competencies and the managerial competencies and the clinical competencies to operate that change if the production side is not moving in the same direction? And so because of the political time in the countries, that implies a number of things for the ministries of health. They have to scale up their learning strategies in order to reach a great number of people that has to be part and leading that change. They have to do it in a quick, rapidly, because they're political times to these agenda. Despite the scaling up of the number of people reached by these processes, you have to ensure a minimal quality of the learning experience. And obviously you have to do it in as much as a cost-effective manner that you can achieve. So these are some of the challenges that are faced by the ministries of health of the region in the current environment. And you know, in the question period, we can discuss specific country experiences. I think that one that is very illustrative of this process is Brazil. Brazil has adopted a family health policy, and in the next 2 years, they want to assure universal coverage with their family health teams, which is a group of professionals that ensure services at the community level. And to do this, they have to train more than 25,000 people in 2 years in primary health care, with very few, for example, family doc. And so this is a major challenge in terms of implementing the policies of the ministry and the family health program. And this we see in many countries of the region. The proposed strategy to face these challenges by the organization, I can describe in three components. One, the concept WHO calls it transformative education. There's an expression in Spanish that is educación permanente, which it's not continuing education. It's more complex than that, in the sense that this notion of transformative education that comes from Paulo Freire in Brazil is really a learning process that is based on the real context, institution, organization, agency, services, where the people are. And ultimately, what you're trying to do is to change the practice of these people and transform the very institution in which they work in relation to a broader set of orientation and policies, as we have discussed. So it's much more a problem-based approach. It's not focusing on professional categories, it's focusing on health teams and what you need in terms of changing the dynamic of community health services with the more health promotion, prevention approach involving communities, relationship with the second level of care, the integration of services and so on. So one concept is strengthening what we could call an education, a learning process that will change the very practices that will make possible the new model of care. The second one is the concept of learning networks that you're probably familiar with. And how can we work with adults that do have an important and experience? Some of them are in very critical leadership or managerial positions. And we build a system where we share knowledge, information, experiences, lessons learned in a very dynamic environment, and where the process of learning is created by the interactions between people at national level or between countries dealing with the same kind of issues and challenges. And the third one is the intensive use of information and communication technologies. We call it distanceless technologies, in the sense that be it in the face-to-face type of modality for learning, you use these technologies, or you can do it, you know, in a synchronic way at a distance using Illuminate or video conferencing platforms and others in such a way that it's really distance-less. You're always using these technologies, even if you are in the face-to-face environment. Basically, and I'm getting now with the operational proposal of the organization that we call the Virtual Campus in Public Health, and I'll describe it briefly so that Anela will get into it on the basis of some specific learning programs like the Leadership Program in International Health. But here you have some of the key core ideas that we're discussing with the Ministries of Health of the region. And the concept of learning networks, which become also supportive environments for the workers themselves, reduce isolation, contribute to retention of desired health personnel where they're needed. And the concept of open learning platform and open educational resources. And that makes it possible in these networks, national, sub-regional, regional, global networks, with a concept of public goods, which is an open educational resource, to develop these learning resources, to share these learning resources, to transform them according to your reality and the problems and the context and the people you're working with, and share them back again with the international community. So not everybody has to do and reinvent a course on how to manage obesity or diabetes, or you don't have, like a country in Mexico, 15 different funding for 50 programs that have to tackle the same public health issues. Now you have access to these experiences, to these resources, and you can adapt them according to your own needs and your target population. This is the core essence of what we're proposing to the country. So we look at open learning resources and open courses or learning program as public goods. And that means that the engine to generate them has to be the public sector so that they become public goods. So the notion here is that in this network, the Ministries of Health has a critical role in sitting down with academic institutions and other institutions or agencies that generate learning resources, make sure that they're relevant to the objectives of the Ministry of Health in terms of target population and the kind of changes that are desired to implement the primary healthcare model, and do it in a way that will contribute to institutional strengthening. So this is, in a few words, the essence of what we're doing. What you have here, the Virtual Campus of Public Health, that's the way we call it, the slogan for it, you have it in Spanish here, is bringing knowledge closer to practice. But what you have at the regional level is this portal, which is a Web2 portal, where you have access to learning resources. And these learning resources are contributed by all countries who do have their own national network in a common architecture. So it's a collaborative network, and it's unique. There's no other regions of WHO that do have such an architecture. Well, because of the open platform and the interoperability of these platforms, whatever is inputted in the network, wherever it is, by institutions or by national virtual campus or at the regional level, become accessible to everybody. So what you have, for example, in this space is, and I'll move there in a second, you have the classes, the virtual classes, and we use the Moodle platform for this. These courses are currently free of charge for the participants, and usually they're dynamic courses. Usually they have a tutor per 10 to 15 participants. You have self-administered courses that becomes a resource for anyone who accessed the web and is interested by the different topics that are offered there. And there's a space also for PAHO's staff development. This is to give you a sense of what's happening at the regional level with this portal, where you have different countries who are part of the network and are developing their own learning programs and courses, always oriented to the workforce. These are not academic type of training of master or PhD. No, they're aiming at changing competencies of the existing workforce. And all their development is then shared through the whole network. So that means, for example, the virtual classroom, we use Moodle. Some of you might know the e-learning platform, which is Moodle, which is an open platform, which means that by itself, it's evolving constantly based on those who use it. It's like Wikipedia. It has a life of its own. It costs nothing to use. And here you have the different courses that are offered, and there's more than this, by the virtual campus at the regional level, or it might be more specifically those offered by the countries that currently are part of this regional network. So if you would go into, we don't have access to the internet here, but if you would go to a given node, let's say you would go to Argentina, when you get into the Argentinian node, it's headed by the Ministry of Health of Argentina, and you would have the name of the network of mainly public health schools and institutions in Argentina that forms the virtual campus Argentina. And then you would have information about different relevant events and happening in Argentina and the courses, the program being offered. Here you have the search. This is an initiative that we have with our virtual library in Sao Paulo, Bireme, in Brazil. And everything that's used in any of these training programs or courses or modules or whatever level of aggregation you have is part of a repository that makes you capable to enter the word HIV or public health or maternal and child health, whatever the problem, the interest you have, and see what are the educational resources that have been generated in the region through the network, and then you can use them for your own purpose. This is a very quick presentation of what we've been trying. There's a number of challenges, there's a number of difficulties with this, as you can imagine, and we can come back to them and after the presentation from Anela. But that basically was my objective, to give you the broader environment in the region through which we started this initiative of the Virtual Campus of Public Health, its key components. And now I would invite Anela to present you some of the initiatives that you will find within the virtual campus. Thank you for your attention.